Good morning. We continue with our study of Nachiyomi as we do every single day. Lilei Nishmas Abi Mori, Rav Hillel ben Meir Yechiel Michal, Arini Kaparas Mishkabo, and the late great Rabbi Jerry Acker, Zichrono Levracha. We are in Melachim Bet, and today we are studying Perek Gimel. We pick up with our understanding of Yehoram, the son of Ahav, after we understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Eliyahu HaNavi into Shamayim, and as Elisha took over, and how Elisha performed his first couple of miracles, we discover in whom's lifetime did he live. He lived in the lifetime of Yehoram ben Ahav in Shomron, and of course, Yehoshaphat was the king in Yehuda at that time. Yehoshaphat would, of course, be related to Yehoram due to the opportunity to try to make peace between the kingdoms. And Yehoram will live and rule the Jewish people for 12 years. Now, it's important to note the 12-year reign, as we'll see by the end of the Perek, because it was very uncommon among Malchi Yisrael to have such a long reign. And so the Pesukim go on to explain to us that, listen, Yehoram wasn't a great guy. He continued in the path of Avodah Zarah, just he didn't do the Avodah Zarah of Ahav and Izebel. And not only that, he got rid of the Matseva of the Baal that Ahav made. However, he kept the Asherah from his mother. And why did he keep the Asherah from his mother? So the Mefarshim explain, Radak explains, that his mother was still alive. Izebel continued to have a tremendous influence. And so that Asherah was what the Jews continued to observe. Others point out that no, it was just that he continued to have the agalos, the calves, that Yerubim continued. And why did he do that? So it could either be because he was worried that the people were going to go up and wind up giving in to the Malchus Yehuda, to Yehoshaphat, or because he thought, you know, when you're raised within a certain wrong mentality, you continue on the wrong path. And that's also something for us to remember. Sometimes we have to be a little bit discerning, even if the fact that it was always done this way, if it was wrong, that doesn't necessarily all of a sudden turn it right. Whatever it was, we know that the Jewish people and the Malchus Yisrael had a certain control over certain nations that were living around them. Mesha Melech Moav is identified over here as one such individual who ran the Moabites, who recognized that what he had to pay a tax to the Melech Yisrael, and when Ahav died, he decided he was going to rebel. So Yehoram decides to go ahead and take him out to war. And so he realized that he had been a little bit decimated after the battle at the end of the life of Ahav through Aram. And so this time he turns to Yehoshaphat and he says, listen, I would like you to go ahead and fight with me. And Yehoshaphat turns around and he answers to him, Kamoni kamocha kami kamecha kisusai kisusecha. I'm like you, my nation's like your nation, my horses are like your horses. The fact of the matter is, he answered just the same way that he had answered in the previous battle. And, of course, the Malbim is quick to point out over here that Yehoshaphat didn't just join in just because he had altruistic feelings. He knew that Ammon and Moab were tied together, and Ammon had battled the Jewish people, as is identified in Divrei Hayamim Beis, and so that's why he went ahead and proceeded. Other Mefarshim say that they saw that the fact that the Moabites were getting ready to go to war, he knew that that was going to be damage all over the world, and that's also a great damage to everybody. When somebody's on alert, even in the Far East, it is an issue for us here in the United States or here in the land of Israel, and we have to prepare ourselves. So Yehoram asks Yehoshaphat, how should we go? And so he tells him we should come up through Midbar Edom. And so the Bnei Yisrael, the Yehoram goes together with Yehoshaphat, and they have the Melech of Edom, who perhaps wasn't the kingdom of Farshim say, but rather the appointed governor over them, or president. And they went into battle, three kings, right, or three Jewish, or three leaders, governmental leaders, and they go into the desert for 7 days, and they didn't have water for themselves or the soldiers. They also didn't have water to take care of the animals. And Chazal tell us in the Medrash HaGadol that it was on the seventh day, which was a hint to the Zechus of Shabbos in the days of Yehoram, where they perhaps went in other ways, but it was the Zechus of Shabbos that will ultimately save them. So the Melech Yisrael says, wow, Hashem is going to go ahead and give us over because we're here, we are dying just in the desert. And Yehoshaphat says, that's not how we do things. We don't just give up. Is there a Navi here with whom we should check things out? And so Yehoram says, well, there's a certain Navi over here. His name is Elisha ben Yehoshaphat. He was the one who poured water on the hands of Elio. And what we're bringing out over here, say the Mefarshim, is Gadol Shimushashal Torah Yosir Milimuda. A person gets to know the Rebbe best and can say he understands the Rebbe's style best when he serves the Rebbe in that situation. So Yehoshaphat realizes that there's something bigger over here, even though Yehoram doesn't exactly like him and is worried about him. But Yehoshaphat says, look, we don't listen to Nevi'e Sheker, we listen to Nevi'e Emes. And he says, he must have, Elisha must have the word of Hashem. And so Melech Yisrael and Yehoshaphat and Melech Edom go ahead and go to greet and take care of him. You'll notice Yehoshaphat is singled out over here, and the Mefarshim explain is because Yehoshaphat realized his rule when he was standing in front of someone greater, like Elisha, as opposed to the others. And so Elisha tells Yehoram, he says, what are you doing over here? You go to Avodah Zarah. Go to the Avodah Zarah. And so Yehoram, the Melech Yisrael, says back to him, listen, God called these three kings together, and we have to deal with it. So Elisha says, I'm not going to look at you. Kilule pnei Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda ani nose. God basically is saying, I'll look at him. And Chazal tells us, based on this, that it's not permitted to look in the face of a Rasha. And you are a Rasha, you need to change. So we have to understand over here as well that what Yehoram even realized that this came from Hashem, but it didn't spur a tshuva for him. And he's getting told by the Navi, you're angering me. And then he turns around and Elisha says to him, look, bring me a musician. If you can bring me a musician, I'll be able to have the word of Hashem. And we understand the idea of Nevuah having to come from a place of calm. Ein adam shor shira ela mitoch simcha v'tuv levav, the Gemara tells us, and Rashi explains it. And Mordechai ben David made it famous. And so Elisha gets the music and he calms himself down. And he says, Ko amar Hashem, this is what Hashem said. He says, I'm going to send the water, but I'm not going to send it by having it rain over here. It's going to rain over there, and it's going to go ahead and knock out Moab on its own, and then it's going to go and flow over till over here. And it's going to destroy everything. It's going to destroy all the fortified cities, and you're going to have to knock down all of the fruit trees, which of course normally is forbidden, but here it's going to be an opportunity for a harasha. And sure enough, that next morning, the water starts coming, Miderech Edom, and it fills up the entire desert over there. And Moab hears that the kings are coming to fight, and they start to scream out. And in the morning, they see the sun beating on the water, and it looked red. And so the Moabites said, well, that must have been the kings that must have gotten into a civil war among themselves, and now we should go ahead and just take them over. So they come to Machne Yisrael, and Machne Yisrael see, hey, look, the Moabites are coming, and they turn around, and they use it as an excuse to attack Moab in defense. So when the king of Moab heard the situation, he took 700 people to go ahead and go attack the king of Edom. He figured his biggest beef was with the king of Edom, and so he tried to go ahead and deal with him, and he couldn't. And he took the Bechor, who was supposed to take over for him, and he went ahead and he shechted him on the wall. And this caused a great issue unto Am Yisrael, and they went away, they went back to their place. So the Mefarshim over here discuss, who was this Bechor? So the Radak says that the king of Moab took the Bechor of the king of Edom, whom he had captured, and he shechted him to God. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that no, he took his own Bechor as an attempt to sort of achieve that which was supposed to be achieved by Akedas Yitzchak according to Moab, but that's not the way things are supposed to come and be learned. And therefore, Am Yisrael was like sort of freaked out by this, and they said, that's just crazy. We learn a certain lesson, right? When we're in tough times, we're not supposed to move away. We aren't supposed to give up and move away in that situation. We have to remember, Beroges Rachim Tizkor, that as the Navi Habakkuk, who is the Navi of Shavuos, turns around and he says, when there's anger, Hashem should remember us. So Yosha should also learn from here that Yehoram certainly doesn't act as badly as his upbringing should have led him to do, and so therefore God does give him this amount of time, 12 years to rule, which doesn't exist for any of the Malchi Yisrael come after Yeravam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a chance in order to show that he recognized that he was different. But whichever way it is, he doesn't do a full return. Rabbi Jachter just parenthetically notes that we have a secular historical source that seems to inspire us over here. It's known as the Mesha Stele. It's an archaeological structure that has been found, which highlights the prelude to this episode. The prelude, of course, being the understanding that there was an earlier period of time where Mesha had rebelled and had been successful, and he wrote all about how he had defeated the Jewish God. Well, we see what happened at the end, and we certainly see which way things went for him. And so the Mesha stone, which looked pretty embarrassing in the past, actually serves as a source of inspiration. Everyone have a fantastic day.